All right, good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? Isn't spring great? I'm kind of loving this. This is just an amazing thing. After all that cold weather and now, we have storms, but I'll take that over snow any day. What else was there? This is Palm Sunday. And so what that means for us is if there's anybody, any little people here who want to take part in the Palm Parade, the Palm Parade is going to be during the first hymn, and so you guys can all go out to the lobby. Parents, if you want to go with, that's fine. You know, you can be part of the parade, too. It'll be great. But you guys can go out to the lobby and grab some palm branches, and you'll be led throughout the church during the first hymn. What else is there? Let's begin this worship service. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful time. A time that, we call this a worship service, and the service part of it is, you know, kind of a big deal. I think a lot of times we think in terms of a service being our service, you know, like, you know, the people, like, we've got children that are going to be serving us this morning during this service. They're going to be, you know, taking the offering and reading for us and stuff, but that's not really what the main idea is. The idea is this: God is serving us. That he comes to us in this service and gives us what we need. We have a God who comes to serve. And so as we remember this, and as we remember the day that God brought us into his family, we begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today, Lord, only because you've made it possible, only because you've made us your children, and you brought us into this family, and you covered us with your forgiveness, given us new life, so that we can be in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, work in our minds. Help us, Lord, to understand your word, and to be able, Lord, to remember the forgiveness that we have received in you. Thank you for serving us this morning. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us now come into our Father's presence and be served by him first by confessing and receiving confessing our sin to him and receiving forgiveness from him. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us remain standing as we sing the first hymn together and as we enjoy the children in the Palm Parade.
Come to bring light into the darkness. He has come.
All right, guys, you can sit down other than my readers. I need my readers. Are you reading all by yourself? No?
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jacob.
I'm Katie.
Outstanding. And these folks are going to do the reading for us this morning. And it's right there.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied it at a doorway.
As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it.
Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
And the sermon scripture for today comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword." And now it is time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys want to come forward at this time for the children's message, it is, I believe, Brian Falls has the message for us this morning.
Come on down. Good morning. Well, thank you for the parade with the palm branches. About 30 years ago, I was doing the exact same thing. Isn't that cool? Do you want to know something interesting about the palm branches? It's a tradition.
On Palm Sunday.
Yeah, on Palm Sunday, and then we'll actually take some of them and we'll burn them and we'll use the ashes on Ash Wednesday next year. Did anybody know that?
No.
Yeah, we'll make the ashes for Ash Wednesday out of the palm branches. Well, I'm confused about a few things. Was anybody listening to the scripture readings this morning? Let's talk about the scripture readings. So the first one was from the book of Mark. So I brought my Bible here, and would you say it's a little bit more than halfway through the Bible? Yeah, a little bit more than halfway. So Mark is in the New Testament, which is during the life of Jesus and after. And then the second reading was from Zechariah. So you actually go backwards to get to Zechariah. And Zechariah lived about 400 to 500 years before Jesus. But Zechariah told the people that their king would come in on what?
A donkey.
a donkey, and not just a donkey, but a special donkey, a colt, which is a baby of a donkey, so a young donkey. Now, it was old enough to carry a person on its back, but it was still very young. And it was believed that this donkey probably had not been ridden yet, because it would, and it would have indicated royalty would have ridden on that donkey. So we know that Jesus was a king, right? But did everybody think Jesus was their king? No. What kind of a king did they want?
A king that wears like a crown.
Yeah, a king that wears a crown. And a king that could deliver them from the Romans. And the Romans collected a lot of taxes from the Jewish people and the people who were waiting for their king and Messiah. And so Jesus knew that this was finally the time. He had told the other disciples and other people a few times before, don't tell anybody I'm here. Don't tell anybody I was here, because my time has not yet come. So on Palm Sunday, we remember that Jesus was telling people that the time had finally come when he rode in. And people were excited. Was it exciting to parade with the palm branches this morning? But just later this week, we'll have Maundy Thursday, which is when Jesus had his last meal with his disciples. And then we'll have Good Friday, which is when we remember Jesus dying on the cross. And of course, we have Easter, when we celebrate Jesus rising from the death, from the tomb, in the empty tomb. So I was thinking, it was a triumphant or a triumphal entry. And can you think of any movies? I'm thinking of a movie that was a very triumphal entry, and it was Aladdin. Who's seen Aladdin? Most of us? I think most of us have seen at least one of the versions of Aladdin. So what kind of things are going on in Aladdin when Prince Ali or Aladdin comes into town? There's loud music. There's like elephants and exotic animals. There's dancers. They're actually throwing out money. Things like that. Was that really what Jesus' entry into the city was like, into Jerusalem? Yeah. What if a president or a governor came to town? What kind of people would come? Maybe those guys in black suits with the earpieces that talk into secret microphones and have a bunch of fancy cars and things like that. Was that like Jesus' triumphal entry? He came in on a lowly little donkey. And so we remember that even though Jesus is a king, he's our king, he was also humble. He humbled himself to death on a cross. Can you guys remember that this Easter season? So when you wave your palm branches, think of all the kids and people in Jerusalem doing the same thing and laying their coats and their palm branches in front of him to welcome their king into town. Can you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your arrival in Jerusalem and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, everybody, 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And yep, and if, as long as it's okay with your parents. The rest of us, let us open up God's word here and now. We'll give them a couple of minutes to get out. All right, my friends. Well, everybody has this experience as a parent, I'm certain, you know, that when you're raising your children, at some point they do something that makes you unhappy. Anybody identify with this? And then you do what a parent has to do. You discipline your child. And the thing about discipline is most of the time the kid doesn't like it, you know? And they can feel really, really terribly bad. They feel guilty because they did something wrong. And you're showing your, let's call it, displeasure with them at the time. And after the punishment is over, I had one of my little ones look up at me and say, "Dad, do you still love me?" Breaks your heart. I think the children of Israel were having a moment like that. We were in the time of Zechariah, and the children of Israel have had a very tough time of it lately. You guys know the exile, right? Children of Israel, throughout the entire Old Testament, ever since Abraham was chosen, but especially since the Exodus, the children of Israel continue to fall away from God. God, you know, gives them some sort of a challenge, difficulty, calls them back to him, and then they do it again and again. And it's just this constant zigzag of, you know, toward God, away from God, toward God, away from God. And finally, the children of Israel were extremely resistant to returning to God. God sent prophet after prophet. He sent challenge after challenge. He did everything he could to get his people to come back, but they would not. And finally, he pulled out the big guns and gave them a real punishment. He took the entire nation into exile, sent Babylon in to conquer his people, to knock down the city of God, Jerusalem itself, knock down the walls and destroy the temple and take away all the people. It was terrible. Then the children of Israel lived in a foreign land for a long time. And they were able to hold on to their identity as God's people, and they returned to God while in captivity, because, you know, that was enough to get their attention. And then one day they were able to come back. The king basically said, "Yes, you can go back. You can rebuild the city. You can rebuild the temple, and I'll even pay for it." And the children of Israel went back to Judah. Now, here's the problem. They show up on the city of Jerusalem, and all that's there is old ruins. The ruins of this once mighty city, just piles of rock. Ruins where the temple once stood. But they had to rebuild. They had to have a wall. They were surrounded by people who didn't like them. And in fact, when they started to rebuild the wall, the people around them tried to demoralize them. They said, "Oh, what are you? You weak people. You're going to rebuild a wall? If a fox walks over it, it'll fall down." They actually said that. It's kind of like, okay, that's terribly insulting and demoralizing. And, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this after all. You know, I mean, it's just, and that's what they were hoping the children of Israel would do, but they didn't. They rebuilt the wall. Then the people around them became hostile, and they started being threatening, and they were threatening to attack the Israelites while they rebuilt the wall. And so much so that the people of God basically had to really take it seriously. And what they did is they divided the people who were supposed to work on the wall in half. Half of them would hold swords and spears, and the other half would build the wall, so that there would be a standing army guarding the city and guarding the people who were building. And the people worked so hard to build this wall, but they're building the wall literally from the ruins, the rubble of the former wall. So think about the psychology of this, right? We are going to build this wall because this wall will keep us safe, just like it didn't do last time. And not only that, but the people of God no longer had a king. You know, I mean, last time they had a king, they had a standing army, there was a treasury, this was a well-established nation that had been run down, and now they were just a rabble of people coming out of captivity and throwing together a wall as best they could and rebuilding the temple as best they know how, and they had to feel a little insecure. They're surrounded by enemies. This isn't good. How in the world are they supposed to feel safe? And the one thing is that more than anything else is this, the only way that they could be safe under the current circumstances is if God is on their side. But they had just really messed up. They weren't sure God was on their side. They weren't sure God was still with them. They worried and they doubted because if God was not for them, they would not stand. So God sends a prophet, Zechariah. And Zechariah comes with the message for God's people, and he says, God is with you. Look, your king is coming. He says, Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Why is that important? Because last time God came, he came with a bit of judgment. I mean, the captivity was hard. Being conquered was awful. Lots of people died. Lots of people went into bondage. And now Zechariah is saying, God is coming to you again, but this time he is coming to serve. He is coming to protect. He is coming to take care of you. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. In other words, there'll be no more fighting. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will rule. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend a bow. I will fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your son's Greece and make you like a warrior's sword. I think that was words of hope for a people who were living in unbelievable frustration, frightened, insecurity, and almost despair. And God is saying, I'm with you. I will be your salvation. And now, today we're celebrating Palm Sunday, the day when this becomes a prophecy of Christ, a day when God actually shows up. And it's kind of a big deal because the children of Israel were also at the same time feeling very insecure, because this is about 400 years later, and after the children of Israel came back from Babylon, and a lot has happened during that time. Israel was free for a little while, and then along came the Greeks, and conquered the whole known world, including this little town of Israel, this little nation. And then after the Greeks came the Romans and conquered the whole known world. And the children of Israel were worried about how can we be secure in this? I mean, is God really on our side? We just keep getting conquered and conquered and conquered. Is he really here? Is he really with us? Is he really protecting us? And they were feeling very insecure. They didn't know exactly how to find security in this context. And there was different ideas. We had the Sadducees. Those guys, they were basically politically trying to figure out how to get along with Rome. If we play nice with Rome, maybe they'll treat us nice. Let's just get along. And they kind of had a gentleman's agreement with Rome that as long as the Sadducees were able to keep peace in Judah, that Rome wouldn't stomp on them really hard. All right. So they basically were just trying to play the political game. Then there was the Pharisees, and they were trying to establish peace by holding the law. If we can just follow the law and do it really, really good. In fact, there was actually almost a myth among the people of God back then and today as well, that if all the Jewish people could obey the Sabbath and everybody do it right, the Messiah would come. I mean, it was like that kind of control. They were trying to be good enough that they could have security, right? And then there was the zealots. And the zealots, they were the ones who were trying to push the Romans out using military force. You know, the idea that Israel is supposed to be its own nation and we're going to help God in this, so we're going to try that. We're going to stand up and we're going to push the Romans out. And in fact, during the Maccabean revolt, they actually did it for a few years. They actually pushed the Romans out of this, out of Israel, and then they came back. So, Israel's not feeling very secure. They're being occupied by a foreign army. They don't know what's going to happen. And in that context, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He does something weird. I mean, this is Jesus, and Jesus, he does a lot of strange things, you know. I mean, this whole idea of being born, you know, in a to a young girl in a stable, kind of odd. You know, but his whole life is like that. I mean, he does everything backward. Instead of demanding honor and respect and all the things that you would expect Jesus to do, he doesn't do any of those things. He shows up as a servant, and he continues with that theme today. And as he walks into Jerusalem as the triumphant Savior, as the Messiah, the one who is the culmination of the entire Old Testament, he doesn't come in expecting all kinds of adulation and praise. He comes in riding a donkey. This is not glorious. You know, this isn't impressive. This is a little odd. But yet the people greet him. They recognize what he's doing there. They see what he's doing as he's as a fulfillment of this passage in Zechariah, that your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not even a full donkey, just a little baby donkey. I mean, but he showed up to serve. And he showed up to serve in the most crazy and radical way. He showed up because he knew that the people that he loved were lost. He showed up because he knew that the people who were fallen and steeped in sin and just in a terrible mess were not going to be able to save themselves. He showed up to sacrifice himself. And not to sacrifice like a little bit of time, like, you know, when your kid comes home and they have to do a job and you need to sacrifice an afternoon to help them. That's tough enough. I understand. We're talking about he sacrificed his life. He gave himself. Because he loved the people. And today, I think that our children, when they're punished, you know, in that whole expression of, you know, do you still love me? I'd love to think that we outgrow that. But I don't know if we do. We live in a world where we get what we deserve. I mean, that's kind of almost like a mantra of the world, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you work hard at work, you get promoted, or at least you get some sort of a, you know, pat on the back for working really hard. And if you don't work, you're probably going to lose your job at some point, unless you're working for the government. Then I don't know. I can't say anything then. But the thing is this. I mean, you know, but you understand. I mean, you get what you deserve in this world, and it becomes such a part of the way we think that when we sin and when we realize how deep our sin, how flawed we are, how even though I've been trying and trying and trying, I can't seem to get this out of my life. And we just get so frustrated and we get so down on ourselves and we get so, because we start to understand the truth about ourselves that we are really, really in bad shape. And since we are in bad shape in our minds, what that means is we don't deserve God's love. The trouble is, that's true. We don't deserve God's love. But God loves us anyway. He loves us with a stubborn love. He loves us with a love that isn't dependent on what we do. He loves us with a love that is indescribable. There's no words for this. We have a word for it, which is grace, but now define that word. And again, it's indescribable. It is love without end. It is love without beginning. It is love that he created us and put us in this perfect world that he created knowing we were going to sin. But he made us anyway because he loved us so much he didn't want to live without us. And when we fell into sin, he loved us so much that he wasn't going to just let us go. He didn't let us have the eternity that we deserve in hell. He loved us so much that he gave everything, died himself to take our penalty, to take our punishment so that we could have the new life in him. That is a God who serves. That's a God who shows up in glory on a donkey. That is a God who becomes victorious on a cross. That's a God who comes into our lives through the whisper of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Word. That's a God who saves us with words written in a book that he revealed to us over thousands of years. This is a God who, he doesn't come in with power. He doesn't show up and like zap you into faith. He doesn't show up and scare you into faith. He loves you, serves you. And we walked into this place this morning, still sinful, you know. Last week we came in, he forgave our sins, right? We went out into the world, and what did we do? Sin. We come back in this morning, and what's that? What does he do? He forgives us again. In a little bit, we're going to have this meal of forgiveness of his very body and blood, that through this meal we receive the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on the cross, the strength to live the Christian life, the food we need. Our God, he comes because he loves us. He comes to sacrifice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given yourself for us. We thank you, Lord, that that means that we are your children, that we were adopted into your family, that we have new life in you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to always remember your love, your undying love that caused you to die for us. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, I also ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews in front of you. And as we do that, we will also be singing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Casting down their bones.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this day, a day that we can spend in your house, Lord, hearing from your word, your revelation, Lord, being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, which teaches us and helps us to understand that word, and not just to understand it, Lord, but to believe it. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord, as we go out into the world. Give us opportunities, Lord, not just to hear your word, Lord, but also to speak it, to share it with the people around us, Lord, who so desperately need to hear this this word of salvation that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we not just speak in this world, but that we work, that we love, Lord, that we share your love in actions, that we use the opportunities that you give us alongside the resources, Lord, and the abilities that you give us, so that we are able to serve others, Lord, as you serve us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the young people of our congregation, Lord, all the families, Lord, as they raise their children to know you, as a relationship with you is the most important thing that each family is doing as they pass the faith on to the next generation. Lord, I pray that you would equip us, Lord, help us, empower us, give us endurance, give us wisdom, give us words. And Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of all of the children, that that faith may be nurtured and grow. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those who are serving families in this church, the teachers in our school, the people in our youth ministry and children's ministry. Lord, all the people who are working to share your word with your people. I pray that you would continue to help and encourage them in their task. Continue to help them to be as stubborn in loving as you are in loving us. Lord, all these things we bring to you today. Lord, and we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Strong men in darkness, you reign. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood in a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is and waiting King above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Oh, oh, this is my soul.
Received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in bread and wine, a mystery. We'll never quite understand that. But then we won't understand the grace of God that caused him to die for us, and that death of God that makes it possible for us to live forever and have new life in him. There's so much we don't understand, but we accept, we receive it because it is God's revelation for us. And he's smarter than we are, so we're kind of smart to listen to him. So as we have received all this from our God, the God who serves us, depart in peace, trusting in the promise that our God has given us in this meal. And depart, and as we go our way, receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen. All right, my friends. Now, this is normally when we have a final song, but the kids have a special thing for us today, and we're going to have the St. Mark's Dancers. That's what they're called, right? Very good. My memory worked. Write it down. Okay, very good. So the St. Mark's Dancers are going to come up at this time, and we're going to praise God with them. I love the kids. You know, I love every Sunday morning when I get to greet all of you people because you're my people and I love you a lot. But every day, there's like almost 140 little people in this building. And they're adorable. I mean, you walk down the hallway and they're like, Pastor Bob, Pastor Bob, Pastor Bob, I got a cat. It's just, you can't beat that. That's just great stuff. Anyway, okay, a few announcements as we go our way today. First of all, join us at the pancake breakfast down in the gym. There's going to be no Bible study because we want you to go eat pancakes. Pancake breakfast is to help fund the youth ministry, our youth mission trip down to Arizona this coming summer. And so prices is like, I think, $10 for adults and $6 for kids 12 and under. And you can buy the tickets right at the door. Let's see here. Dine to donate tomorrow. It's another opportunity to eat. Let's see. We're going to be going to Camilla's restaurant, and we're raising funds there for the adult mission trip to Guatemala. So, hey, there it is. Missions weekend. Here we go. And let's see here. Mulch. Oh, this is another one of those mission trip things. The mulch sale is on, and I'd love it. The orders are being taken, but I don't really know where. I should know that by now, shouldn't I? I'm pretty sure that they're online. If you go to the church website, most likely it's there. I wasn't able to verify it before the service today because my phone would not connect to the satellites. So there's that. Okay, and then the family meeting is April 23rd at 11 o'clock a.m. And that, I think, is everything I've got for you guys today. So God's blessings. I'm so glad you were all able to be here. Visitors, if you want to grab me, I'll be out in the back, and you can say hi and tell me your names. It'll be great. All right? God's blessings on your week.